B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ajeet to lead his second return for a touchdown this season.
Oh, we have a fight on the other side.
He took that gold chain and ripped it off his neck.
Oh, that's my dog.
Oh, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich and Aqib Talib, master broadcaster, Kansas legend, Patriot legend, Tampa Bay legend at Mons Venus. Aqib Talib is brought to you by DN Van Lines. He joins us in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Von's Venus was full contact for a very long time. You had to wear mesh shorts. What?
Hey, what y'all know about that Mons Venus, man?
When I was in college, I went to college in Orlando, and as my fraternity, we would take the pledges there, and everyone would wear mesh shorts, and it was a whole messy situation. I'll tell you that much. It was a messy situation. Did you ever go to Mons Venus?
I've been. I played in Tampa, so it's only right.
Did you drink trunk liquor in the parking lot like everyone else?
No. My Mons Venus experience probably was not close to everybody else's.
Oh, yeah, you were VIP. They brought everything in.
How is it different being Aqib Talib than just the normal person there?
Just different, you know, different treatment, different sections, you know.
Have you ever been in centerfolds in Atlanta?
No, centerfolds in Boston, though.
Yeah. They've ripped me off there. No, I'm just joking. centerfolds in Atlanta one time, they took me into, they go, we're going to take you into this room. I was on the radio there. And they took me through VIP, then into a false, I swear to God, this is true, I've told this on the air before, in a false wall. Into this room that was all white with a white bar and a bartender, and it was just me and my friend. And I'm like, why the hell would I want to be in here? I'm here to see naked women. Like, I realize I could have sex in here if I want, but I was guessing. I mean, I don't know that to be a fact. But it was a fake wall. Have you ever seen such a thing, Aqib Talib, as a fake wall in a strip club?
Never. That was VIP treatment for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Atlanta, believe me. I worked nights for a long time. The strip clubs were open until 4. Daddy got his. Don't worry about it. I was around. Don't worry. You ever go to Rachel's in Orlando?
I'm sorry. Cut out real quick.
Did you ever go to Rachel's in Orlando?
No, never. No? Never been.
All right. Well, I apologize. I can't stop bringing it up. Did you ever play on Thanksgiving? Do you ever play in a Thanksgiving
never
game?
Never played on Thanksgiving either.
Really? Not in high school or anything?
No, never.
Oh.
It's weird, right?
You never got to experience...
Never had a Thanksgiving game.
You never got to go to Detroit in November? It's a whole thing.
Nope.
No, you're missing out. You're missing out.
What do you think about yesterday, or the day before yesterday, Tom Brady, after the game when he lost, he didn't shake Jared Goff's hand. This isn't the first time he has blown somebody off after the game. He lost against Nick Foles and blew him off afterwards. What do you think about this new thing where he just doesn't want to shake the hand of any guy that he lost to?
I don't know, but me personally, when I lose games, I go straight into the locker room. Like, I mean, it's a emotional game. It's competitive, right? So when I lose, that's immediately after the loss right there. 0-0, bam. I'm mad. So I'm going straight to the locker room. When I win, I might go tell the guys who I know a good game. Sometimes I can't find those guys. Those guys run straight into the locker room because they mad. So it's just Tom Brady. It's you know, magnified when Tom Brady do it, but it's a bunch of guys who do it. It's not just Tom Brady. If you're mad, you're mad. You shouldn't have to shake hands if you're mad. It's, oh, well, text me, DM me, call me later. and I'd be just fine. But so, I mean,
so you don't think that that's like, because I mean, he's being called out, and you know, this is something he hasn't normally done, and he'll do it just fine when he wins. So you think that, you know, screw sportsmanship. This is, you know, he's angry, and who cares if he walks off the field?
Yeah, I mean, everything he do, he showed great sportsmanship, right? So I mean, you know. If I'm lost and I'm super mad and I don't want to be on cameras on the field showing that, if he want to go straight to the locker room, he got the right to go straight to the locker room.
But you know, if Cam did that, he'd get killed. Do you agree, right?
Yep, definitely. And so, I wouldn't kill him. I would say the same thing, man. Cam don't got to shake hands if he don't want to shake hands. So, I mean, what you go shake the other quarterback hand? You didn't even play against him. You should be shaking the defense hand. And telling them, good game, bro, good game, good game. Like, that should be the big deal. Why is he not shaking Aaron Donald's hand, telling him good game? Like, that's the one we played against.
Well, I haven't been anywhere near Aaron Donald.
Has a quarterback ever said, Aqib, to you, like, Mike, you own me? Like you completely dominated today?
Nah, I done been told, man, great game, man. You're a good leader, bro. Y'all keep it up, you know what I'm saying? But... Nah, come on now. We a class of 2,000 guys. Nobody is ever going to say that.
Okay, but you have a different attitude than a lot of players do, because we've learned through talking to you over these weeks that you are all business. I mean, on the field, you compartmentalize things. And, you know, I see prayer circles after games. I see guys that it seems like they didn't even play against each other after games, you know, hugging and having the time of their lives. You know, joking right. around during the games. You are not like that, and that sounds like, you know, you talk like there's all these guys, but you're an anomaly. I mean, you seem to have taken the game a little bit more seriously than other people.
Nah, it's a ton of leaves out there. Excuse me. It's a ton of guys out there who, you know what I'm saying? It's whatever floats your boat, but I'm not the only guy who, when we lose the game, and I'm the first one in the locker room, and that helmet is thrown into that locker, bam! 3 seconds later, blam, it's another helmet, and then blam, it's another helmet. So it's guys in there with me. It's not just me. It's more than just me who's mad after the game.
And even if a team has been, you know, underperforming, even if it's a losing team, it still is painful.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's every time you suit up for a game, you think you're going to win.
Right.
You think, oh, we did this, we could do this against them. You always think you're going to win. I mean, once you get to about like 2-13, and you got one game, now you don't really care no more. I mean, once they get like out of hand, then you know your care level gets less. You know what I'm saying?
But sure.
You still have a chance. You're gonna be competitive. You're gonna think you could win every game.
All right, speaking of disrespect, there was that thing that happened before the Ravens-Titans game this past weekend where the Titans went on the logo and they started stomping around, and Harbaugh said, you shouldn't do that, and Malcolm Butler got in his face. And how disrespectful, like, as a player, like, kind of on a scale of 1 to 10, how disrespectful is it to go stand on the logo?
That's definitely disrespectful. That's a 8.
Really? Just standing on the logo like that?
Yeah.
You ever do that?
I can't remember. I can't remember what team. I think it may have been college. I want to say it was college. But I know we used to break it down in the middle of the field. Maybe the Bucks. But like, we didn't stand on the logo. We'd do it like at the 40 or something. You know what I'm saying? At home games, we'll do it on the logo. So that's how disrespectful it is. Whatever team, I can't remember what team it was. We used to punt it. Boom, we at the middle of the field. Maybe it was the Bucks. And we just didn't stand on the middle of the logo because that was just, you know, you're just disrespecting. You asking for it. So it's an 8.
All right.
It's an 8. Okay. Now, I take it the worst is still, because we've talked to players about what's the most disrespectful thing you can do on a field. Is spitting on someone still the worst?
Yeah, that's probably the worst.
Okay.
That's probably the 10, spit in somebody's face. That's definitely the 10.
What happens when somebody spits on another guy? Like, is it a situation where the rest of the team knows it and there's, you know, when you're in a pile, there's some cheap shots that are done? Or how do you get back at someone when he spits on you?
it matter. If he on offense, then you really could get him. You know, if he on defense, it might be a little bit tougher to get him. But you got to get God. If it happened early enough in the game, and that player is like, man, dude, spit on me. There's going to be some guys out there trying to get him. So probably some good hits, you know, probably nothing real flagrant, but, you know, some legal hits, but, you know, maybe a little blindside, maybe a little low, maybe a little high, you know, maybe, you know. But he got to get God. Definitely got to get God if you spit in somebody's face.
All right, Akib, there was a report from some guy, and I'll tell you this, is he's the Spike King. So I got to tell you, he goes by the Twitter handle, the Spike King. So he is royalty. And he said that that he's hearing that Dante Hightower is going to retire. Do you think guys, veterans that took this year off, would be more likely to retire because, you know, maybe not playing this season and having the time off from the NFL makes them kind of reevaluate how much they still want to play?
Yeah, I think it could have something to do with some guys' retirement. I mean, it could go either way. Some guys going to play and not have them checks come in and be like, I need to get back to them checks coming in. And then some guys going to play and they're going to enjoy their time home with their family. Their body going, they're going to enjoy how their body's feeling and just their mental state. And, you know, some guys might not want to do it no more. But if you're one of those guys, you probably didn't have too much longer to do it anyway. So, I mean, you know, just a little help.
Do you miss it?
I really don't, man. I'm still enjoying my time at home. I enjoy being able to go watch my son play all weekend. I enjoy being able to go watch my nephews play. And I enjoy just running my business out here and the new stuff, the new media stuff that I'm getting into. I enjoy that. So I don't miss it, man. I don't never wake up like, man, I wish I was going to practice right now. Like, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Do you see some of that Akib attitude in your son? Do you see that attitude in your son, like growing in him?
Nah, I see the talent in my son. I don't see that attitude. Yeah, I tell him that all the time. It's a certain attitude you got to play with to go to get a scholarship, to go play in the league. It's a certain level of heart you got to play with. You got to play like it's a movie every game. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the movie that's being recorded and you know, you got to play with that many emotions every game. And that's how you're going to be better than everybody every game. Now, he's better than a lot of people, but that's what I'm always constantly preaching to him, bro. If you want to do it, you better put it in your heart. You better find something to drive you to do it. It ain't going to be money like it was when I was young. Got to find something to drive you. Find something to make you want to cry when you lose. Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. You got to play it with heart.
Are you a yeller at the games? Right now. Do you, like, yell and scream at the games and run around? Do your emotions get the better of you?
They don't get the better of me, but I'm definitely yelling and screaming. That's like a mini me out there.
Because you're not supposed to.
I gotta help him, right? I gotta help him and tell him what to do. He's seven. This is
different.
Year playing tackle football.
But you're not supposed to. They say, because I have a son and a daughter. I have a son who's 12 who plays sports, you know, year round, and they say you're not supposed to yell. You're not supposed to do that. But they. The people that in charge of everything. I don't know.
Point, who is they?
Bill Belichick said.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. That's what people say.
If Bill Belichick ain't said, I don't listen to it.
how tough is, speaking of Bill Belichick, how tough is it to not like tell his coach like what to do? Like, because first of all, if you're a coach, that's kind of a nightmare. If like someone's on the team who's, you know, a kid was a professional player, like, oh God, now I'm being judged. Like, how tough is it to not like yell at the coach, do this and that?
No, I don't yell at the coach. I help the coach. You know what I'm saying? I tell him something which you should do or what the other team is doing. You know what I'm saying? What
the other team is the doing. Coach is...
Stop it, maybe.
Yeah, the coach loves it.
I don't yell at coaches, man. I'm straight to my kid. I'm helping you out. I'm here for you. I'm okay. Your number one fan.
You wait till he's in high school, Akib. I have a feeling that's going to change. There's going to be a little yelling there.
Well, no.
You better have it together. By high school, I should be able to just sit back. I should be following the rules by then. I shouldn't have to yell by then.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, nobody had to yell at me by then. It was just all cheering. He was cheering, and he was enjoying his time at the game. And I was doing all the work on the field. So hopefully by high school, I could just be in that mode. I could sit back then and just watch him go to work.
All right. Well, there you go. You, Aqib Talib's the guy on the sidelines. But, you know, he's not yelling at the coach. All right, Aqib Talib, you are a father now. You are retired from the game. But there was a one point where you were a 23-year-old making your way in the NFL. If you remember this game, this is something. Because you were on a terrible Tampa Bay Bucs team. It was before Christmas. It was December 20th, the Sunday before Christmas. You beat the Seattle Seahawks at home. Okay? Do you recall that game? Josh Freeman was your quarterback.
The Seahawks at home. What year?
2009.
Oh, my second year?
Yes.
This wasn't a nod. I remember a Seahawks game at home was a night game, but I remember Derek Brooks and all those guys were playing, so that was my rookie year.
There was a local guy playing quarterback. A local Massachusetts guy playing quarterback for the Seahawks. Ex-patriot at wide receiver. A big ex-patriot wide receiver playing in that game.
That's tough, man. I really don't remember playing the Seahawks. That year. You're right. That would have been a good one because I don't remember it. I can't recall not one thing.
All right.
Was we both bad football teams?
Yes, you were both very bad. Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback. And Aqib, you were a tackling machine. You had 8 tackles in that game, including a tackle for a loss. So Raheem Morris was using you in a very aggressive fashion in that game. So
that could be a good thing or a bad thing because, you know, when you see a cornerback with a lot of tackles, that means he was getting the ball caught on.
Well, I'm seeing the tackle for a loss, and I'm thinking that he was using you on the blitz and things of that nature. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. That's what
maybe
I'm
maybe my second year, hold on. If I had 8 tackles, I had to be playing, right?
No, you're playing, my friend. You were playing. All right, Aqib Talib. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your son's games. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it, fellas. Y'all take care.
All right, you go. Aqib Talib. There you have it. Tuckered out.
Remember Ray Lewis on the sideline with his kid? His kid actually, in high school, his kid actually came over
started vomiting.
And threw up in front of him. And Ray's like, that's okay. We're going to wait. Get back in the game. He started screaming at him.
Yeah, his kid was vomiting. It was his body was rejecting his father's voice.
Hang on. You guys are going past the headline, the lead on this. He bought a cherry picker.
Oh, that was Gruden, I thought.
No, that was Ray Lewis did that. He had a cherry picker. Maybe it is Gruden.
I thought it was Gruden. Cherry picker.
Gruden started screwing around and coaching with his son's high school team and bought a cherry picker.
Is that Deuce? Is that Deuce's team?
It's got to have been Deuce.
Please love me.
Deuce will never be good enough.
Daddy, I'm big.
I got another rep in me.
Made the league.
Now that you mentioned that, does fit the Gruden personality.
No, he was Gruden.
Lewis,
yeah.
So, okay. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Ray Lewis stood over his son while he threw up and said, get back in the game, baby. We do what we got to do. I'll never forget it. It was great.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that.
Oh, we have a gentleman. We have the Spike King on line one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know that because Nick waved in the window and then pointed down.
We should probably take a break. By the way, I think this is Ray Lewis right here.
There you go, Julia. There you go, Julia. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, man.
That's him yelling
at us. Let's go, man. Man, let's go, man. Because we breed them, man. We breed them, man.
All right. Yeah, he's very excitable. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk to the Spike King about his break.
Come on, now, let's go.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, when I'm up in the morning, I'll tell you what. I have my routine, and that always involves a delicious cup of coffee. I need something to get me moving, and I can suggest this to you. Dunkin's 100% Colombian coffee. It has all the right notes, balanced flavor, crisp taste, and a fruity finish. It's the perfect soundtrack to hit play on my day. Rich's mic is up, Tracy. Thank you. I don't want him saying something and regretting. So head to Dunkin' and try their medium roast option, the 100% Colombian coffee, and get your day started on the right track. I'm telling you, participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. America runs on Dunkin'.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Thanksgiving, less than Jake. Johnny Quest thinks we're sellouts. You can watch us on twitch.tv. That's Johnny and I and whoever walks in the room. And you can get with all the people over there who are okay. They love to complain. But you know what? It's still people listening and watching. So it's all good as far as I'm concerned. If it makes you listen, God bless you. And you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and find ways to complain on that as well. A little levity. You guys want to hear a story real quick before I get to the Spike King?
Sure. Do you really want to keep the Spike King waiting?
Yeah, I want to kind of build the tension because I know I have a captive audience waiting for the Spike King. Guy I know, okay? He's traveling for Thanksgiving. I know COVID and everything, but he's had a rough year. He wants to go. He wants to get warm. So he goes to this tropical island. He's there yesterday at this tropical island, and he gets in the hot tub. And when he's in the hot tub, there's this guy, true story, he starts cutting up celery and putting it in the hot tub and taking a salt shaker and putting it on his shoulders. My friend goes, you know, I thought about ordering room service for those hotel, but I didn't want to be room service. That's not even my joke.
That wasn't real.
I don't know. I laughed my ass off when I heard that. Because in all those cartoons, like the Bugs Bunny will be like, I'm taking a bath, and then all of a sudden someone starts chopping celery.
Right. It's like Elmer Fudd trying to cook them.
Yeah. They're going to cook them. I wanted to order room service. I don't want to be room service. My goodness. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling on the Bankroll Boys. I know you had that thing 2 weeks ago. They didn't bring the energy. They didn't really bring any energy, first of all, this week.
Oh, and I thought they were good this week. I disagree.
Yeah, I liked them this week.
This week was primo.
They laid out a ton of information. But they didn't give picks on
they
who
did.
Was going to win the game.
Oh, they absolutely did.
Over in the Detroit game.
And Livshatz liked Detroit, and he said, see if you can get the line at 3. Joe said that Dallas...
Pick the over on the Detroit game, too.
No, that's he already said that. And yeah. He said that Dallas was atrocious on Thanksgiving, so I would go against Dallas. And then Joe said that he liked Baltimore, but he wasn't sure that game was being played, so check the Twitter. And then they gave it.
I'll have to go back and listen.
Well,
to
no, because I. That's not fair because I reiterated their picks for the Detroit game several times during that segment.
Yeah, no, I understand, Mike. Listen, they and you know what? I also told them that, you know, if they don't feel 100% confident in a pick, they don't have to do that. But at least bring one NFL pick that you are confident in. And I think that we got that for the Thanksgiving thing with the Detroit deal. So the over on Detroit is, I think, the biggest one that they wanted. And, of course, the Degenerate Special. So
well, I like,
there you go.
I'm with Livshatz. I like Detroit in this game. I really do. I think Houston's like, we beat the Patriots, and that's the way it is. And I think Detroit's going to run the ball, and I think that they're going
to
win.
Wong tease the line up to 9 or whatever.
Wong tease, right?
If you do, hey, that's my gimmick.
Sorry.
Kay. All right. We're referring to a lot of things. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Why not? All right. Spike King, the Spike King is a presence on Twitter, Rich. Give us some background on the Spike King.
Well, the Spike King has been in studio with us. You know, we did a contest, and I don't remember if this was Spike King for the Patriots Protector or it was you had like a ton of Patriots tattoos. You got the Taco Fall tattoo. It was the Patriots Protector, right, while we had you in studio?
Yeah, I was with Chris from Rainham as well, too. Ended up winning that one ticket over there.
Ah, yeah. So you owe us.
A little pre-COVID action, you know, when you can actually go to the studio. So
yeah, well, okay, we'll have you back. You got a Taco Fall tattoo, did you?
Yeah, I got lucky that he actually got the his contract picked up, so my arm gets saved for another year. But it was a bet with my buddy Green Runs Deep that if Taco Fall was to make the Celtics roster last year, that I'd get a tattoo on my arm. So
oh, well, yeah. Listen,
you're a man of your word.
And throwing out many the sports Twitter handles. I like that.
Okay, but what I want to know, Spike King, is that yesterday when you tweeted out your news about, you know, we'll let you talk about it, about, you know, Hightower and Marcus Cannon, you know, there were people defending you on Twitter as being, hey, this guy kind of knows what he's talking about. What other news have you broken before?
So, first of all, it's a little bit tough when you don't have a blue check mark or you work for a major sports company. I mean, some people can label me as a super fan, whatever it is. But just call me like a Patriots underground source. Like, that's what I am. I've got players that follow me, friends, family. I talk to other people within the organization, other media members. Some of the past stuff that I've broken, Marcus Cannon's opt-out. I actually fed that to Jim Murray, which he got to break on his show on a Saturday, and it came true a couple of days later. Jared Stidham's injury, I kind of found out about that first and how he was going to be hurt and not be the starter this year, and it was going to be Cam Newton on August 20th. Brandon Bolden's opt-out, the station I won't name that you're competing with, I gave that information to them, which ended up getting broken by Adam Schefter within an hour.
Oh, you can't. What are you doing with the enemy? Come on.
Well, hey. Got to keep your enemies close, you know.
We gave you tickets. Come on, man, give us the big thing. All right, okay.
Well, you know, there's somebody over there that, you know,
Fitzy.
They're your competitor, but they've looked out for me in the past.
Is it Fitzy?
Help each other out.
Is it Fitzy?
Fitzy. Listen, Fitzy is like the main guy when it comes to Patriots.
Yeah, I like Fitzy. Fitzy's a nice guy.
He's a really great guy. Absolutely,
yeah, he's a good guy.
I mean. Have I gotten things wrong in the past? Absolutely. I'm the guy who put up.
All right. So anyway, what did you hear?
What's the deal? What did you hear?
Well, what's the deal for right now is that about Dante Hightower, from what I was told back in February, Dante Hightower lost the love for the game of football. Like, that's what I told from somebody that's very close to him. Now, you're coming off the 2019 season, the way they lost. I could understand, you know, why he might think that. His plan was to play out his contract in 2020 and then retire in 2021. Then COVID happened. So when COVID happened, things changed. Same thing with Marcus Cannon. Marcus Cannon sold his house in Mansfield and moved down to Texas and like was not going to play in 2020. But with COVID here, these players are allowed to opt out and they kind of prolong the process for retirement and payments. There's more to it for that. When Hightower had his kid back in July, he straight up said, I'm not coming back. I want to stick with my family. This is what I want to do. So I've been kind of sitting on it because I wanted time to wait. I want to go back to my source. I also want to connect with other people within Patriots beat writers and all this to kind of sniff it out to see if this was true. And as it stands of right now, you know, what's today, November 25th, like that Hightower's not playing in 2021. Like he's going to focus on his family. He is going to opt out. They have talked about maybe a coaching role for him, something that he can still be involved with the team. I know some people are looking at this, and I've seen it on Twitter, like they want to crap on me. It is what it is. If you look at this Hightower, he's national champion with Alabama. He's a three-time champion with the Patriots. He's done it all, and he's only 30, 31 years old. He's relatively young. It's very hard in his position and what he plays to take a year off and come back and grind it out for just a one-year contract, by the way. It's not like he's extended. Like, say, someone like a Patrick Chung who opted out, he's still got 4 years left on his contract. He's coming back, and he's going to play. It's going to be somewhat hard for Hightower to get back into that role. So I put this out there on Twitter because I feel that this is the time that Patriots fans and in the media should start talking. With the Patriots being 4-6, we need to start looking at 2021. We need to start looking at cap space. We need to look at free agency and the NFL draft. With Hightower retiring, the Patriots are going to have about an additional $11 million in cap space. Same thing with Cannon. You'd have about $4 million. Now, Zolak wants to, in Bertrand.
Thank you. Thank you, Spike King. Real quick.
Any other rumors that you're kind of on the tail of right now? Any other thing that you've got you're like 80% sure of?
No, I mean, I'm 100% sure this is happening. Like, I'm telling you, because guess what? I put it on Twitter, and no one debunked it yesterday. No one went out there and said Spike King doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm with you. I'm Team Spike King. Is there anything else other than those two that you're hearing? Like, you know, you're sniffing around. You're kind of half hearing things.
Nothing that I know right now. If I hear anything, I'll toss it over to you.
There you go.
Anything can come up on any day. So.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Spike King. We appreciate it.
I do have some other breaking news, too, real quick.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Spike King is going to be a finalist for Patriots Fan of the Year this year. So just keep an eye out for that.
Okay.
Support Spike King.
All right. Thank you, Spike King. Well, it seems like that would be a rigged election because you have so many inside sources.
I know. I would be ticked if I was the other people. It's like, well, he's obviously talking to players who are, you know, have a powerful vote, I'm sure, in this.
Certainly the Hightower retiring is good news if you're a Patriot fan. That is good news. And by the way, Patrick Chung does have 4 years left on this contract.
He's not playing those.
Of course not. But it's just silly.
I thought they had to talk him out of retirement just to get him to play this year before COVID hit.
Because he's not making a lot of money.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come back.
That's a ton of cash being freed up, though. I mean,
yeah. If you're a Patriots fan, who wants Hightower at his age and his position with a year off?
Him and Cannon together, I mean...
Cannon is more of an issue because, Cannon's a good piece. With Hightower, that's addition by subtraction.
But Hightower is, you know, obviously like a leader there. He's the director. I get what you're saying. And I don't think that he's somebody... But having him as a coach would not be a bad idea.
You can afford to lose Cannon. I don't think that's a problem.
Right. I don't think it's a problem. I just think that it's... more of an issue than Hightower. I think Hightower is all good. Cannon was a pretty good tackle there for a while.
But they found guys already to replace him.
I know.
Linebacker is a serious position of need.
Oh, come on. You wanted Hightower to be a linebacker next season?
He's better than the alternative, at least for right now.
You're rebuilding, John. You don't want a 30-something-year-old linebacker.
The leadership to teach him the ropes, bud.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm thinking.
You can be a leader at that position in the NFL at 25. You don't need to be in your 30s. They have leadership. McGordy, he got barreled over by a quarterback on
this
Sunday.
Is how it's done.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Watch me get knocked over.
He showed how to get a replay of you getting trucked over and over and over
that
again.
Leadership right there.
That's right. That's the big leadership is when you put your shoulder down and a quarterback knocks you on your ass. Saw that again this morning. It was on ESPN.
Good times.
That's absolutely. All right. We will be back, Rich. Do we have Mike told me we have a little something we've been sitting on, maybe.
Sure. I've got a couple things. So, why not?
All right, let's empty the bag.
Let's have a dinner.
Let's do it. You're here, I'm here. Let's have a dinner. Why not? A Thanksgiving feast for the senses on the way.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm a match, she a kerosene, you know she gonna burn down everything. She an arsonist in a pastime, and I've been burned for the last time. Time, whoa, I've been burned for the last time. Time, whoa.
Yeah.
985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. What is, this is the transplant, not the transplants. This is, I know who this is.
It's the Interrupters.
The Interrupters, yeah.
Which is basically Tim Armstrong's, he's essentially the fifth member of this band.
Right.
He's produced all their stuff from Rancid.
Yeah.
That new album's actually really good.
It is indeed. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, so I think I'm going to go with this. There's two things I want to discuss today, but I saw this today, and I'm always fascinated by, Fred, your knowledge of all things modern music.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've already told us that you're a huge fan of Post Malone. You're a massive fan of his.
There is a song by Post Malone. Which song is it again?
Which one are you talking about?
Because the one that has no business being a hit. It just is nothing. It's just the name is Post Malone. It's been fed to you, and you're eating it. You'll eat what you're served. It's gruel. It's rock
this
star.
One, this one, yeah. All my brothers got that
gas, and they always be smoking like a rock star. Yeah. This song is terrible, and you're eating it because you're told to. Because you're an automaton that just does whatever it's told.
I don't mind Post Malone.
I don't mind Post Malone either.
As a guy, he seems like he's actually a pretty cool guy. But that song's not good.
No,
like, there's other songs that are good. That's not a good song.
And by the way, I know bad songs exist. But this is... And I know that with streaming, they buy all the streams and it's all rigged anyway. I know. No, it is. It is. They buy streams. It's all... The whole system of streaming is completely forged and falsified.
What does buying streaming get you, though?
A bunch of streams, and then you get up on the top of the Spotify list, and people start listening to you, and then it insists upon himself. It makes perfect sense. You move it up charts artificially, and then it's the same thing as on Amazon when they artificially raise your book company, publishing company, raises the amount of people that have bought your book. Or on Twitter.
Your listeners put reviews of it on there anymore because they suspect that you're not being very nice
foul
to Jim
play.
Gray.
Or on Twitter, when people buy Twitter followers because they have a book coming out. In fact, I just heard an interview with an author, and his publishing company came to him and they said, you know, why is your Twitter account private? And he goes, because I don't like social media. And they go, well, you got to start using social media. And they're like, well, we could buy followers. And he goes, yeah, well, why aren't you doing that? Because I don't want to do anything. So just go buy a bunch of followers, and I'll tweet my stuff, and then we can pretend that, you know, I'm doing something. So, yeah, I mean, it's all manipulated. You think a billion, like, actual people downloaded, or not downloaded, because that would mean they did something. Stream that song, please. Not in a million years.
Not a billion people, but there could have been people who listened to it 30 times.
Sure. And I think that what happens is, like my kids, is that, you know, they'll open up Spotify and then here's, you know, Post Malone, and then they'll hit it and it will play, and then it becomes just this thing that sits there.
Okay, so there are 8 nominees for the Grammy Awards for Song of the Year.
Not enough. Okay? There's been many, many better songs than those 8.
There are 8 songs, all right, up for it. They just announced this last night, the Grammy nominees.
Yeah.
And, John
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Care of business to racked up all the awards. I think they were disqualified because they won so many.
Little Feet, no.
Little Feat. It's the dumbest name for a band ever.
Yeah,
Da likes that a lot. You know, Little Feat.
Indeed.
So, John,
I like mine big and manly.
Out of these 8 songs,
yes.
How many will Fred be able to identify the artist?
5.
Whoa!
That is a bold statement,
5.
Johnny Wall.
I say 5.
5!
I believe in you, Fred. 5.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. That is
statement. That's the over-under. That's where it's posted. Place your bets.
All right.
All right.
Pound the under, because I'm going to try my best.
I think you're sandbagging us, Fred. I think you're going to do well here.
Okay. You have to understand that I don't know anything that's going on at all. Couple rappers, but probably not the ones that are nominated.
I'm going to guess...
Keep it underground.
3. And that's really pushing it out there.
3 seems like a conservative over-under. That seems to be...
All right.
All right. Vegas would put it at is probably 3 of 8.
Okay, let's start. Here we go. Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't stop caring about me now. Anything? Walk away.
All right. You know that is a song I've never heard, but I will guess... That is, it's not Bruno Mars, but it's
a woman.
It is.
Oh, it, is it? Is it the woman Haim?
No, it is not Haim.
Okay.
It is not Haim. I think Haim is a girl group.
Is it Billy English?
No, it's not. Isn't that the movie starring Mr. Bean?
I don't know. Is it Billy English?
No, it's not Billy English.
The one who's fat shamed constantly.
Yeah, that is not her. That is Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa.
Of course.
She's a woman who sings at one and don't talk to them, and two, get away from the phone, three.
Ah, that is going to be my daughter just texted me Dua Lipa.
No.
I'm not looking at it. Put the phone down. There's a delay. She's not here.
All right.
So Dua Lipa will go down in history as the greatest recording artist of all time.
So you're 0-1, Fred.
All right.
All right. Number 2. This is the Songs of the Year nominated by
the Grammys.
Was
the name of my duo as well. Oh, this is milk toast into mashed potatoes. This song is great. This is called The Dentist Office. This is called Novocaine.
No, this is when you're getting your hair cut. This is at the hair salon.
Well, I know The Weeknd was not nominated because he's very angry. So I would have guessed The Weeknd.
No.
But I know he's not nominated because he's mad.
That is Post Malone, Fred.
Oh, well, I mean, Post Malone keeps churning out the stuff, I got to tell you. That song's really good. You know what, Rich? If anyone else would have released that song, it would have been nominated for Best Song of the Year. And by the way, kudos to the Grammys for getting Trevor Noah, the generation's best comedian. He's been funny never. You know, I want a guy with keen political observations. You know, but boy, the Daily Show is really off and running since Trevor Noah took over.
All right, you're 0-2, Fred. 0-2.
Right. We're going to have to break after this one.
We'll do one more before the break. Let's see if you can get this one, right. Okay? 0-2. Where the stash at? Cruise the city in a bulletproof Cadillac. Because I know they got to wear the bag at. Gotta move smarter. Okay, first of all, can I just say, how is this nominated for Song of the Year when that's literally the demo key when you buy any kind of drum, like drum machine? Like, that's the most phoned-in drum beat.
Okay, I might have heard this song. My kids might have played it, but I wouldn't know the difference because I'm old. I have literally no idea.
Well, that's Roddy Ricch, spelled with 2 C's. All right,
Roddy Ricch, who is one of the Complex top 20 rappers under 20, under 30. All right, so we'll be back. We'll continue this. Someone tell me why that Post Malone song is good. Someone tell me. I mean, come on. If this was the Wallflowers follow-up to One Headlight, you'd believe it.
That's pretty close.
Where's Carlos Santana to solo over this?
Yeah, I know. This is it.
It's like Matchbox 20.
It's Air Supply. Oh, boy, Post Malone. You don't get your face tattooed because there's only one Post Malone. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, everyone's trying to stay in touch here over the holidays, and tomorrow's going to be a big day. You're going to want to call your family and friends and make sure that they're having yourself a great Thanksgiving. Well, T-Mobile wants to help everyone get their holiday on because this year they know it's not about how far apart we are. It's about how close we can be, and it's so easy to keep in touch with your friends and family because T-Mobile connects more people in more places with 5G across the country. And now that T-Mobile and Sprint have merged, T-Mobile's network is not only bigger, it's even better than before. And this season, you can have it all with T-Mobile. Get what you want in a network and so much more. With America's largest 5G network, you won't have to choose between an amazing network and great prices. At T-Mobile, you get both, plus 5G access included at no extra charge. It's time to holiday on with T-Mobile. Do yourself a favor and visit T-Mobile.com to learn more. Capable device required for 5G. Coverage not available in some areas. Some users may require a certain plan or feature. See T-Mobile.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.